All right, welcome back. The phones are lit up. It is Friday night. It's going to be great. Nothing like open lines. And with a guest like Brian Lunduke, it is on. You can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. Twitter is completely smoking right now at J Church Radio. I've got some questions lined up from Twitter right here. We'll be doing all of that next. We're going to get to your calls. Now, check out Beyond Belief, where you can join Coast to Coast AM's George Norrie for all of his dynamic discussions on paranormal phenomena, conspiracies, and all things unexplained. You get to see the world through new eyes. You get new episodes weekly, and you also get unlimited access to Beyond Belief and watch anywhere, anytime on your computer, iPhone, or iPad. No commercials, no sponsors. Enjoy Beyond Belief. Ad free. Just go to beyondbelief.com. My guest tonight, Brian Lunduke. He is a technology journalist for Network World. I say it often and I say it loud. He's an author of nerdy books. He's a podcaster. He's a creator of absurd videos. He's a nutty guy, but he's smarter than you. Tonight, we are discussing how the Pokemon Go app was developed by InQtel Corporation, which is the venture capital firm of the CIA, and how downloading that app, that game, opens up your phone and provides the CIA access to all of your personal data. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with Brian Lunduke right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest tonight, Brian Lunduke, and we're talking about Pokemon Go and its direct connections to the CIA, the NSA, obviously Google, and your personal information, and the possibility that you are an agent for the CIA, and you don't even know about it. Now, check this out, Brian. You and I were out doing our little research, and we're out hanging out with some players, Pokemon Go players, and you and I asked them directly. Would it freak you out if I told you that, the CIA was involved in this game? What would you think? And why don't you share some of those responses that we got that day?
It was amazing. Most of the responses were essentially of the like of, I don't think it would change things too much, or they're spying on me anyway, or I made some friends and had a lot of fun with this, so I think I'd keep on playing it. It was absolutely mind-boggling that wasn't a deal breaker for them right away. It just blew my mind.
It was like the glazed look in their eyes. No, I like the game.
Yeah, and I get where they're coming from. This is a game where you go out. Like, you see parents with their kids out there playing this all the time, and you want to say, yes, that's wonderful. Go
Right.
play with your kids. Take them outside in the sun. Go for a walk.
Right,
Awesome.
right.
But it'd be nice if we could do it without, basically getting rid of whatever scrap of personal privacy we had left in the process.
Well, check this out. This is a tweet, a question sent in from Saint Coriel. And the question is, if Pokemon Go could be user-supplied recon, why are people still willing to supply the information?
Because it's fun. I mean,
Right.
realistically, most people, they want to have a good time. They don't really care that this might be not just damaging their personal privacy, but the personal privacy of all the people that they walk within 30 feet of as they're walking around the city. And it just doesn't really register with the majority of people. And I don't think that that's necessarily the fault of the people. It's just we've gotten to this point where I don't know if people are fully desensitized to the idea that we're all just watched all the time, or if they've bought into the idea that, well, I have nothing to hide, so surveillance is okay, and they just roll with that. It's some sort of psychological thing in there. It's disturbing to me personally, but it seems to be prevalent.
When, because of the network access and looking for other networks, is it possible for people to walk down a street or through an office building and just access any open network right there? Is that actually what's going on?
Oh, heavens, yes. Not only is it possible, it's been done. So those Google Street View cars that go around taking all the pictures for the Google Maps application, right?
Right.
There was an issue, and I want to say this was about 5 or 6 years ago, where all of a sudden, all of those cars were going around, and as they were driving past homes and businesses and the like, as it detected unencrypted Wi-Fi signals, which there's a lot of out there, it automatically grabbed onto them and sucked down whatever information it could as it was driving by. So the types of things it was already grabbing was things like what websites you're visiting, or a snippet of an email that you're sending for work or to your grandma, or these sorts of things. Or even some of your online banking, really just any traffic that's going over that Wi-Fi network at that point. And now when that happened, it became public. Google got their hand slapped publicly. There were some articles written about it. And Google made the statement of, you know, oh, that was just a mistake. I don't even know how that rogue crazy code got on these cars. That's weird how that happened. Well, we'll just take them off. And which was a really, really wild response. But that kind of proves that not only can it be done, but it is being done and has been done in bulk already. So as a good case study for what a Pokemon Go app or a similar type of application on your phone could do, we only need to look at what Google has done with the Street View cars.
2 days after you and I started to do this mass disclosure on all of this, Niantic came out with a press release saying it was a mistake. You know, we're sorry, right? Well, okay. So what did they do with the 2 or 3 or 4 days worth of data that they collected? Did they say that it was deleted? I mean, what did they do with all of that information?
Well, we have no way of knowing. There literally is pretty much no way to know. I mean, the reality is the application itself, both in terms of, you know, what Google had been working on through Street View and Pokemon Go from Niantic, is all closed source, and we have no access to their servers and their data centers. And because of that, we can't audit their code, which means we can't find out exactly what it was doing. And we can't look into the exact data that they pulled together, because they're not going to let us into our data center with complete administrative access to look through everything they have. So we really can only just speculate. There's literally nothing else we can do.
You're a tech writer. I just got a question in here in Twitter, which I think is relevant. What's the best search engine for privacy?
Oh, dear. There's a couple of good ones. If you're concerned about privacy, and this is a real, real legitimate thing, using things like Bing and Google are probably not a good idea. I would avoid any sort of search engine that requires an account or has any sort of ties to any sort of online account, or that uses what are called cookies to store data on your machine. What I would do is, there's two of them, and one is called DuckDuckGo, which is a really awesome and fun thing to say, but it's DuckDuckGo.com, which kind of focuses on kind of privacy in a search engine. And the other is called SmartPage.
Right.
And SmartPage does a pretty good job of it as well. And both are a lot more private than what you're going to get through, say, Google. They're not quite the same. They don't work quite the same, but they still do a really good job of it. And it is going to be much more secure.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because the Twitter, it was from Info Junkie, and he said, I use SmartPage, right as you said that.
Yeah, StartPage. Yeah, that's the right one. It's worth looking at. I do recommend it.
Okay, there you go. The phones are completely backed up, so I'm going to try to squeeze in some of these really quick. Let's go to Wildcard Mike out in Montana. Mike, welcome to Coast. You're first up tonight.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Brian. I kind of follow along with what you were just talking about. I was wondering if we should start using encrypted software like Signal to kind of keep them from looking at everything we do?
That's an awesome question. So I've been writing an article series for Network World over the last few weeks on how to basically take your digital online life and live in a secure way. If you go over to networkworld.com, you can find them in there if you search for me. But the short version of it is this. If you are sending text messages, those text messages are not secure really in any way, shape, or form. And we already know that multiple agencies, including businesses and government agencies, have access to those. The same is true of both email and instant messaging. You can use encrypted and services to kind of help protect yourself in those regards. But they're not all really created equal. There's a couple of them out there that I personally like a little more than various others. Signal is a really good one. Signal's nice because it does tie into your current phone number. The problem with Signal is it requires a cell phone, and it requires a cell phone number for an account. The reason that's not so good is that means that you have an insecure platform that you're running a secure chat application on top of. So while you sending a message to Jimmy Church could be encrypted end to end, what that means is it's encrypted by your phone, sent all the way to Jimmy's phone, and not unencrypted until it gets to Jimmy's phone. So no one in the middle can read the contents, which is great. But because it's an insecure platform, if anyone or any agency has access to either your device or Jimmy's device in any way, then, well, they could read the contents of that message anyway. There are some others out there, such as Wire at wire.com and a few others that have good encryption and do make things a little bit better. My general recommendation is, whether you use Signal or Wire or any of the other encrypted messaging solutions, I highly recommend it, because every step you take to make your life a little more secure and a little more private is a good thing.
Thank you so much for the phone call, Mike. Great question. And let's squeeze in one more before the break. Let's go to Wildcard Jim out in Kentucky. You're next up on Coast.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going good, Jim.
I'm sorry.
I said it's going good, Jim.
Awesome. Initially, my question was about the psychology of the players who, if they know that the permissions that they're agreeing to, why would they continue to do it in a time when we have the mantra of if you see something, say something? But the contrast, if you look from 1957, when they launched Sputnik, most people in America swore that Sputnik had this capability of zapping down on you. That's the mentality. So I guess if you could take from then to now and write it as an algorithm, when and where would be the shift, the change from people being completely paranoid to saying we can play a game and it's fine to hand over all of our information?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's exactly the question, Jim, and thank you for that. What do you think about that, Brian?
In my mind, it all comes down to convenience. You have an Android phone, right, Jimmy?
Yep.
All right. You have Google Maps on there. You use it almost all the time to get where you want to go, right?
Never. Because okay. You're my friend and I listen to you.
All right. Well, most people do, right?
They do. Absolutely.
And I've used Google Maps. I used Google Maps for quite some time before I realized really the ramifications there. But it's so darn convenient. It's so easy. It's nice. You'd be able to punch in a destination, and as traffic changes, it reroutes you around it. That's amazing functionality. That's the friggin' future. That's Star Trek land type stuff. It's wonderful.
Right.
But it comes tailored. It comes packaged with all of this surveillance and all of this insecurity, and people just don't want to give up the goodies. They don't want to give it up. It's just like when people want to play the game, even though they know it lowers their personal privacy. They like it. It makes their life. They feel like it makes their life better in some way, and they haven't as yet seen the negative side effects of playing those games, of running those applications or using those types of phones. And until people see those negative effects in their personal lives, people aren't going to feel like it's real. They're not going to stop doing it. And in this sort of situation, it means that we hit a critical mass of people all throughout the globe basically walking around with surveillance devices that are tied in directly to multiple agencies and multiple businesses that can do anything they want with our data for the most part. And it's not going to stop until it's already too late and everyone realizes that it's integrated into their lives in a crazy way.
And one of the interesting aspects is this. When the world turned to cell phone cameras and portable video cameras, and they started to get tinier and cheaper, and you started to see them out in public, people were offended by that. You know, you're taking my picture in public. You walk around, I tested the game with you and played the game, and walked around And I'm pointing this at people's houses, at cars, at families, at children, at people's face, and nobody at all complained. They didn't even notice that we were there. And that intrusion now in the public world is something that is completely invisible because the game is presumed to be innocent.
It's benign, right? Why would we have a problem with a game? What sort of crazy, whack job, nutto conspiracy theorist would have a problem with an adorable video game with a cute, cuddly yellow creature on it? It's
perfect. Brilliant. It's perfect.
So smart on their behalf. I mean, right. I'd say it's smart, but it's so obvious. You almost can't even give it that. It's just amazing.
Let's squeeze in one more quick question right before the break. Let's go to Wild Card Mike in Livermore. Real quick, Mike, before the break, what have you got for Brian?
Oh, of course, you got me right before the break, so I got to go quick. one thing. All these people who, you had mentioned it before, you know, say, what, I'm not doing anything wrong, so what do I care if they store all that information and everything else? But now you're telling me they can go in and create emails, they can create a Facebook page on you, they can create a whole profile of you, if you wouldn't even know it. On top of that, they have sophisticated enough equipment now digitally, they can make recordings of your voice saying anything. So you're basically setting yourself up for if you're the wrong guy in the wrong place saying the wrong thing about the government, boom, you land in jail. It's going to be so easy. But I have one quick question, and that is, is there anybody out there trying to defeat this stuff, to mess with it? There's these organizations of hackers and things like that that are doing stuff. Is there anybody just throwing programs into their program to just mess it all up?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you, Mike. What do you think, Brian?
So I mean, the short answer is there are plenty of lone wolf hackers trying to do various things. But even more importantly, there are larger organizations such as the Tor Network and a few others that are trying to find ways to make us all have better optional privacy, to make ourselves a little bit more private and a little bit more secure. The downside there, of course, is as long as individuals are going to be willing to walk down to a Fry's or a Best Buy, pick up an iPhone, install Pokemon Go on it, then all whatever work is out there is kind of all for naught.
And our guest tonight is Brian Lunduke, and we're going to head to a break right here, Brian. And when we come back, I guess the one question is this: is this the perfect tool? Is this, could we almost see the CIA go away? And does this give the CIA the ability to work inside the United States? They're supposed to be outside of the borders. Our guest tonight is Brian Lunduke. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Taking your phone calls. It's Friday night. Our guest tonight, Brian Lunduke. And Brian, I've got these calls backed up, but I also have a bunch of stuff here on Twitter too as well. So I don't know what I want to jump to first. What should I do, Dan? We're gonna do that and just come back. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and line up a bunch of your Twitter questions. And finally, the other thing I want to get in here is ParanormalDate.com. It's where others meet of similar interests. Find your match that shares interest in the paranormal, science, life after death, ghost stories, Bigfoot, UFOs, alternative medicine, and conspiracy theories. Paranormal Date now has almost 55,000 members. It's completely free to check out, and right now you can use promo code CyberGeorge for 40% discount. Paranormal Date is also available free on iOS and Android apps. And when you're there, check out the companion site as well, conspiracydate.com. Our guest tonight, Brian Lunduke. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Pokemon Go, the CIA, the NSA, and Google next. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George tonight. He is taking a well-deserved Friday off. You know, I'm sure he's out there having fun and relaxing. And our guest tonight is Brian Lunduke. He is a tech journalist for Network World. And back in July, he wrote an article about Pokemon Go and its connections with Inkutel and the CIA. And it really opened up the world's eyes. And that's what we are discussing tonight. It's Friday night. The phones are completely jammed. And so, Brian, let's try to keep this going the best that we can. I'm going to head back out east. Let's go to Steve in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Steve, welcome to Coast.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just I can't help but thinking there's got to be some short way to avoid, to keep them from tracking you so easily, to keep from collecting all the data on you. And is there something that maybe somebody has just overlooked to keep them from doing this?
There you go, Brian. Is there a way to stop it, or is anybody trying to stop them?
There is. It's an incredibly easy and obvious one. Don't have a cell phone. But unfortunately, not all of us want cell phones. They're so astoundingly convenient. Most of us couldn't even imagine the modern universe without a cell phone or something like it. But the reality is, as long as you have a device like a cell phone, it can be tracked. Just to give you an example of this, if you have an Android or an iOS device, it has a little GPS chip in it, right? Now, you can turn off that GPS. You can say, no more access to that GPS. But even if you do that, the phone itself, the service provider of the phones, AT&T, Verizon, etc., and anyone who has access to them, which we now know is the NSA and multiple other agencies, still knows your location, because what happens is on that phone, it triangulates to all the cell phone towers around you to determine your approximate location. It can also do the same triangulation with how close you are to other people's little Wi-Fi hotspots, Wi-Fi modems and routers in their home. So it knows the rough location of all of those towers, of all of those hotspots, and based on the signal strength, it can determine roughly where you are. You know, maybe not down to the inch, but really pretty close. So unless you turn off everything on your phone and make it so it is no longer a phone and can no longer communicate with the outside world, it's really not possible to do so in a way where it cannot be tracked.
So the answer is no.
Yeah, as long as we want this technology, that's one of the things we kind of have to live with. And in theory, we can put more additional safeguards in place. We can encrypt more of our communication to keep it out of the hands of prying eyes and the like. But there's always going to be a limit there. There's always going to be a certain level of surveillance that can be accomplished on a device that's always connected.
Let's go to Luke, east of the Rockies in Liberty, Texas. Luke, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Yes, Jimmy, thank you for taking my call. And, Brian, I have two questions for you. The first one, sir, is, do you think that geocaching is also used by the FBI to spy on us? And the second one is, I think you said this already, did you say that the FBI and the CIA use those GPS tracking devices in your car to help spy on us?
Oh, there you go. Two great questions. Thank you so much, Luke. Brian, first one. Yeah, go ahead.
Geocaching. For those who aren't aware of what geocaching is, it's basically the idea of a scavenger hunt, a treasure hunt, using a GPS device to kind of wander around between points in the world, finding clues and the like. Lots and lots of fun, a good outdoor activity that a lot of people take advantage of. If you are using a device such as a cell phone with a GPS chip in it in order to do your geocaching, that data is absolutely 100% available to multiple companies and to multiple government agencies. Whether they do anything with that or not, I have no inside knowledge and can only speculate. I don't know why they would want access to it and not use it, but they do have access to it. There are offline geocaching type devices that don't have a cellular data or Wi-Fi connection, and those are going to be, just by their design, much more secure and much less prone to spying. And so if you want to do geocaching, I would recommend using one of those fully offline, dedicated little geocaching GPS-like devices if you're worried about that. And then the car side of things. Yes, absolutely. If you have any of a myriad of services in your car that tracks your location, whether it's OnStar and the like, that information is absolutely available to, again, multiple, basically businesses. I don't have any knowledge that says that the government absolutely has access in real time to that data. But again, with all of the revelations we've had of recently, I don't know why they wouldn't.
Yeah, I would think if your car's got navigation in it and you've just robbed a bank and they know your car, that would be it. I would think that they would lock you down right there.
That would be it, which suggests to me that all the criminals in the world probably should be, you know, driving around a 1950 Oldsmobile if they really want to get away with things.
Jennifer wants to know on Twitter, she wants to know what other apps are spying on us like these.
Oh, dear. All right. So the long and short of it is we have no way of knowing. As long as the applications themselves, whether it's Pokemon Go or your email application, is closed source. And what that means is we don't have access to the programming source code that makes up the application itself. We can't audit it. We can't look at exactly what it does. All we can do is make an educated guess and say, well, it seems like it's not sending back information to, you know, weird, iffy servers in Langley, Virginia all the time. So it's probably not, you know, mining a lot of our data. That's really the best we can do. If you are really concerned about that, you kind of end up needing to move over to a completely open source platform and a completely open source set of software, which really does limit what you can and can't install on your system. But the short answer is we really have no way of knowing. We do know that if you are using, say, if you have a Yahoo email account, for example, if you have a Yahoo email account, we know through recent revelations from Yahoo that they had a deal going with the NSA where all of the email was being scanned and indexed and made available to the NSA. So if you had a Yahoo email account, that was happening. I would take that further to assume that that also applies to all existing Yahoo services. And being as we know that happened with Yahoo, there's absolutely no reason to think it also isn't in place with Google, which means Google Maps, Google Hangouts, Google Gmail, all of the Google services are collecting data on you. And one important thing to remember about this is that Google is an advertising company. That's where they make like 90 some odd percent of their revenue. They sell advertisements. And part of being an advertising company is collecting data so that you can properly and effectively advertise to people, which means that if Google is working with other agencies, government agencies, other businesses, the amount of data that they have from all of the applications on your smartphone is absolutely off the charts.
Let's go to first-time caller line, Daniel, right here, West Coast, Marietta, California. Daniel, welcome to Coast.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good, Daniel.
I have two stories. I can't even think which one I'm going to say, but I think I'm going to say the one about Facebook. So I was telling my wife about an invention I wanted to make, and my phone was off. I mean, I wasn't even on Facebook or anything. And out of nowhere, I think it was a couple of days later, I see a post on my Facebook account saying about like the exact same invention I wanted to make and everything. And what's your theory on that? I take my answer up here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Daniel. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to tell. The reality is there's a lot of devices that are listening to us at all times. What exactly they're doing with that data is an unknown. So our cell phones are listening. Siri, when you say, okay, Google, and your phone wakes up, the Amazon Echo, and just a lot of other devices are listening at all times. They're pulling that data outside of your house. They send it up to the server for analysis and to figure out exactly how to respond and what data to send back to your device. And so that data is going somewhere. What they do with it, again, because it's all closed off, it's in a walled off set of data centers that we don't have access to, we have absolutely no way of knowing. We can look at, you know, anecdotal evidence like this and say, well, gosh, sure does seem like something ends up keeping on happening, but we have no way of finding out for sure.
If you uninstall, this is from Eric on Twitter, if you uninstall Pokemon Go, do the permissions continue?
It should be gone. If you uninstall an application off of your Android or iOS device that had things like Pokemon Go, where it was doing things you didn't want it to do, it's gone. At least it should be gone. And if not, the tech journalism community will get up in arms about it. That's what we do.
Yeah. And look, I'm going to ask you now, Brian, before we head to the break. You want to continue taking calls, because we are completely jammed with phone calls for you. You want to hang on after this break?
Oh, yeah. I'm here as long as you need me, guys.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so with that, let's go to, let's go east. Let's see, who do we have east here? Wild card, Charles in Ballston Spa, New York. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Jimmy, thank you for taking my call.
You got it, Charles.
It's a pleasure to hear your voice tonight, you know. You know, you're a great fill-in host, when George isn't around and everything.
Well, when I have a guest like Brian, it's pretty smooth sailing in here, trust me. What have you got, Charles?
You guys are working off each other like perfect, like magic, you know.
All right, what have you got, Charles?
Oh, well, all right, you know, to be honest, I downloaded Pokemon Go back in July, you know, and I played it like I saw everybody else playing it. But I thought there was something weird, you know. I thought there might be something deeper, you know, as your guest did, And my question is, do you think in any way that maybe this is part of the reptilian agenda, maybe...
I hear you, Charles. Yes.
Maybe we've been fooled in some way, and maybe
right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right, Charles. And I had told Brian, thank you for the phone call. Charles, I'm serious. I said to Brian before the show tonight, as we start to put this together, we will get this phone call. And we just did, Brian. So what do you think about that? Do you think that there is, you know, we have the CIA, right? But yeah. What about the shadow government, the puppet masters that are even behind the scenes that are, you know, yanking the chains of the CIA? Could there be something even crazier involved?
There could. There's nothing in what Pokemon Go does that, you know, suggests it one way or the other, except the...
Oh, did we lose you? Did we lose Brian? We lost. Okay. Well, we've lost Brian, and don't know what happened there. But so I'll tell you what I'll do. Let's just go ahead and have some fun. Let's go to Jeff in Culver City. Jeff, welcome to Coast while we're waiting to get Brian back.
Yeah, how you doing, Jimmy? Yeah, I try to avoid technology as much as possible, you know, and its advances as much as possible, but it's extremely, extremely difficult. You know, this manufactured evil is virtually unavoidable. But beginning in 1995, I always believed that these technological / psychological programs were purposely designed specifically for certain individuals. You know, for some reason, these quote-unquote special people were directly targeted with these quote-unquote special programs, you know, directly targeted, you know, with special gadgetry and psychotropic drugs and these agents who work in a variety of careers and capacities, which affect the targeted individual in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But I want to ask Mr. Linda, is there a possibility, you know, Jimmy, you know, since it's you, is there a possibility that these hovering satellites above us are inducing or somehow electrically or telepathically implanting subliminal auditory or visionary messages to these, you know, so-called targeted subjects, you know, during a subconscious or meditative state? And do you believe that these entities behind this, you know, these programs can either view or hear what is being activated or actuated within the individual's state of mind? And I'll take the answer off the air. Thanks, Jim.
Well, yeah, thank you for that, Jeff. And, you know, I'm going to answer as we're waiting to get Brian back right now. The thing is, when we're talking about that type of technology and the ability to do that, we are constantly, we are bombarded with Wi-Fi signals, with Bluetooth signals, with microwave signals, with cell phone towers and cell phones, you are standing right now, no matter where you are standing in the middle of information like you don't even, you can't even conceive what is swimming around you. Right now, going past your head, is a digital streaming movie, right? Somebody's watching. It's in the ether right around you. There are signals and communications that are happening. Now, could any of that, always remember, I look at it this way. Your brain is made of iron, right? And that's it. Electromagnetic anything is going to affect you, or it can. And if somebody wants to develop that technology to do anything like that, if you think about it, it's right there. Implant memories, certainly. Anything can be done. And is it scary? It's certainly scary. It's one of the things that I like to look at it like this. When we talk about the Matrix and living in the Matrix and walking in the Matrix, if you think about all of the digital information that is swimming around your head right now as I speak these words, is it possible? Could it be? Certainly. I would venture to say yes. Let's go to west of the Rockies. Let's go to, oh, wait a minute. We're up against a break right here, aren't we? All right, this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. It's open lines all night long. Our guest tonight is Brian Lunduke. We lost him. And you know what's interesting? When you're talking about the CIA, the NSA, right? And all of this, here we go. It's just the way that it is. We're taking your calls all night long. Got Twitter operating live to my left. It's Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie on this Friday night. We'll be right back.